Amen. Thank you for that singing. That is beautiful. I would also like to look at the Psalm 321. John commented on it this morning. And the last verse, the last stanza there, "My heart an altar, and thy love a flame." May our hearts be at that place this morning. An altar that is aflame with the love of God. Thank you. An altar that is burning brightly with the love of God shining from our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for the thoughts this morning. Of John shared some of the verses that I'll be sharing on this morning as well. And some of our thoughts might overlap, so we'll trust the Lord this morning. And message that God has laid on my heart is a call to faithfulness. In our day, a call to faithfulness. First of all, I would like to just remind us of the faithfulness of God. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness." The faithfulness of God this morning in allowing us to gather here in this way. He allowed us to get up. He allowed us to have breath this morning. He gave us sound minds to be able to think clearly. That is a privilege this morning that we have. To have a sound mind that can think clearly, make clear decisions. All throughout the Old Testament, we have the promises that God will be sending a Savior. He says in Isaiah 6, verse 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We have that prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah. And there's a whole message in that verse. Wonderful Counselor. He's our Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, a faithful Father. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. As I think of peace, I think of my life before I had peace. The Prince of Peace. Today we are here, we can testify that God is faithful. Just because of what He has delivered us from. In the chapter 1 of Matthew 1 verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins." The faithfulness of God down through the ages. He prophesied that a Savior was going to be born. Then the angel Gabriel came to Joseph there. And he said, "Your wife's going to bear a son. And you're going to call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins." This fulfilling was happening that God had always promised. We not only see the faithfulness of God in sending a Savior, but most of us in here today can testify of the goodness of God to be able to experience the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Where that burden of sin is not upon our shoulders anymore. And if you haven't experienced that forgiveness, it is available through Jesus Christ, the Savior. We could ask the question, how does that work, the forgiveness of sins? You know, it doesn't, rationally thinking in our minds, it doesn't make sense. All throughout the Old Covenant, they had to offer a sacrifice. The priest had to offer a sacrifice. They had to bring an animal. And the priest had to offer these sacrifices first for themselves and then for the people, it says. But today, Jesus is that sacrifice. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can experience that. I have experienced that. God was faithful. He said He's going to send a Savior. His name shall be called Jesus, and He will save His people from their sins. And I have experienced the deliverance from sin, the bondage of sin, of immorality and darkness in my life, entangled in sports. You name it, that's who I was. But God has forgiven me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Romans 10, verses 9 to 13 says, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed anymore. Before, I was ashamed of my life. I didn't want anybody to know. I thought I was the only one that lived this way. But today I don't need to be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We see mankind walking around carrying the burden of sin. It's all around. They think they're having fun. That's what I did. I was having fun. But the end of the fun was just more weight on my shoulders. More weight each time. We keep loading because of the fun that we think that we can have and just living our life however we please. And we continue to put weights on our shoulder. But oh, the freedom when the weights are released. And that is the faithfulness of God. I'd like to share a little story. It's an actual happening. It's a young man that I know very well, worked with me for quite some years. But he was living this kind of life. And I knew what kind of life he was living. I shared with him many things. But one day, you know, sometimes I felt like I share all these things and he acts like he doesn't hear me. He just sits there, he'll act like he doesn't hear me. And so sometimes I felt maybe a little frustrated in my heart, like, don't you hear me? But one night he was sitting under a message that brought the conviction was too heavy for him. He couldn't bear the weight of sin anymore. And the blessing. He comes and asks for me to come pray for him. Come with him. But I'll never forget the night. I just told him, I said, you just pour everything out. I said, don't hold anything back. And he started pouring out his bucket. I mean, everything that he was involved in. And I knew what he was involved in, but not to the depths that he was. But I'll never forget. After he prayed, I prayed for him. And we talked and shared. We stood up. And he grabbed me around the neck. He said, I feel so free. The joy. And later, he told me he felt like I was pretty radical when I shared things with him, but he thanked me for sharing things with him, the things that I shared with him. And one of the hardest things that I shared with him, you know, he was planning to get baptized, and he wanted me to come to his baptism. And I told him, I said, I would love to come to your baptism. But I said, I know you are not right with God. I said, when you get right with God, I will be at your baptism. And I was. And it was a blessing. And he said, he felt like I was pretty mean that day, but later he thanked me for the hard things that I told him. It doesn't feel good to say those things. But yet God has called us to be faithful. In our walk with Him. And we see God was faithful in sending a Redeemer. We see God is faithful in redeeming mankind back to Himself. He is still doing it. We've just experienced it here. Again, with the baptisms, God is calling His people to Himself. And then I'd also like to remind us that God will be faithful. Just with a couple scriptures in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 to 12. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this first part here, I was just wanting to remind us of God's faithfulness toward mankind. As we move into the message here, my goal is to encourage us to walk faithful. And I have 4 points here that I would like to look at with our lives And maybe before we do that, we could just bow and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pause here. We give thanks to you, Father, this morning for your faithfulness toward mankind. Father, you've called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You've translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You set our feet upon a rock. You've given us hope, Father, when we were lost in darkness and despair. You've brought life to the life that was dead in trespasses and sin, Father. And this morning we just worship you, Father. We worship you this morning, Father, in spirit and in truth. We desire to just glorify you. And Father, as we continue on here with the message, Father, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. My heart first, Father, that we could see your heart. A calling of faithfulness, Father, that you desire from your people. Father, as we heard this morning that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things draw us away, Father, we pray against them, Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, that you would just allow our hearts to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I just commit this time into your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. A call to faithfulness. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The first point I would like to look at is our being faithful in our walk of life. Being faithful in our walk. I have a story I'd like to tell here. I'm going to say it from memory, just to give us a picture of our day-to-day walk of that God calls us to be faithful. This story happened back in the 1800s in Yugoslavia, and it involved the Nazarene Brethren, and they were all gathered. They were looking to ordain an elder for their church, and they were all gathered together, and there was a couple of the brothers that were chosen, that they qualified for this position for this office of an elder. And so they had a vote, and the brother that came up, they asked him, the brother that was voted, they asked him if he would leave, and then they asked the church body if they would, they have anything against this brother. And there was a visiting minister there. He asked, so what is his report from without, referring to 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. I'll just read those verses. 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And so he asked the congregation, what is his report without? And they didn't really know. And so the congregation thought, well, this visiting elder should go out into the town and find out. So they called an intermission, and he was perplexed. He's like, how am I going to do this? So he heads towards the village, and he sees a bunch of men gathered around the village well. He thought, well, I'll just walk up there and stand there a little bit and see what they're talking about. So he walks up there, and it says that the village men gathered there to fetch water and to gossip. That's what they gathered around the well. They gathered, got their water, and they stood around and gossiped of everything that was going on. And so he walks up there, and he's just standing there, and one of the men says, this town is boring. It's nothing going on. And another man said, oh no, there is something going on. The Nazarene brethren, they're gathered today. They're wanting to put in an elder to oversee the flock. And he said, I hope they put, he said, the brother that was chosen, I hope they put him in as elder. And one of the other men's like, so why would you say that? Why are you saying put him in as an elder? He said, well, some time ago he has a really nice orchard. And some time ago, one night I decided to help myself to some of his fruit. And so he went, he jumped over the wall, and he put baskets under all the trees, is what the story said. And he was filling each of the baskets half full. He didn't want them all the way full because he had to lift them over the wall again. And so he was filling his baskets half full of apples and just letting them sit. And he noticed, after a while, he noticed that someone else was in the orchard as well and was going through and filling all his baskets up. And he was a little scared right at first, but then he thought, well, he's probably stealing apples as well as I am. And so he goes over there and he tells him, hey, don't be filling my baskets. I won't be able to lift them over the wall. Go get your own baskets. And the man that they're wanting to ordain, that was chosen to be an elder, he was the owner of this orchard, and he said, well, I'm the owner of the orchard. I'm filling your baskets up, and then I'll help you. I'll open the gate, and we'll go out the front gate. I'll let you go out the front gate so you don't have to lift them over the fence. And he said, I was just really taken back. And the only request that he has, that if I ever need more fruit, I should come back, but come during the day, and he'll give me more fruit. And so that's why I want them, I would like to, for them to put that man in as an elder. And And this visiting minister, he just turned around and walked back and gave the blessing. But our walk of life, that our life, that men have nothing evil to say of us. I know Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you if all men speak well of you." Jesus said those words, but I don't think that we need to worry about that if we are faithful in sharing the gospel, because not all men will speak well of us if we are sharing the gospel to them. But I do believe with all my heart that in our business dealings, our everyday walk of life, the things we deal with, I don't think that people, the outside world, should have anything bad to say about us. I believe that with all my heart. And I also can testify of having homeowners that were upset at me before. But if you're willing to just serve them and tell them that, "Look, I'm here to serve you. We'll do whatever it takes." You can usually take care of a situation where that they will not have anything bad to say of you. I believe that with all my heart. There might be some exceptions in that. Some homeowners, some people might be different, but yet I do believe with all my heart that God has a way for us that we can be at peace with those that are without. First Peter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Those verses were prayed this morning in the prayer room, and they just bless my heart. You know, they might look at you, speak against you as an evildoer, but by your actions, by the way you handle the situations, they'll be, it says, which they shall behold and glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, God will get the honor. All we are asked is to be faithful in our walk of life. 1 Peter 3, verse 16 says, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. For Christ also once hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." You know, we can have a good conscience that we don't need to be ashamed of. Faithfulness in our walk of life, our daily walk of life, that they don't have anything evil to say of us. Number two, faithfulness in prayer. Thanks for the thoughts this morning on prayer, Joe, that God is interceding for us. But he calls us to faithfulness, being diligent. In Luke 5:16, we have examples of Jesus. It says he withdrew himself from the multitude and prayed. In Mark 1:35, he says Jesus was taking care of all the needs that day. And then it says, in the morning, a great while before it was day, he found a solitary place and there prayed. Examples of Jesus being faithful, interceding or calling out to his Father for the needs that he had before him. All the people that came to him that wanted healing and they wanted his touch. Today we have the privilege to come to Jesus and be a partaker of his divine nature. Matthew 14, verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. It is important that we find that solitary place to meet with God. When we pray, we're talking with God. And that is just a privilege. And we have many things to pray for. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have the saints of God, the people of God that we can pray for. We have our own needs, our families. And we have a God that we can come to through Jesus Christ. That is a blessed privilege. And then Paul says, he gave that charge to pray for all the saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we can pray for each other, that we can boldly speak as we ought to speak when God gives us opportunity. John already read these verses this morning. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have this privilege to talk with God. But many, many times we come to God on our terms. We want to come to God, but yet we do it on our terms. And I'd like to just share a little testimony of my own life. And how God marvelously was there for us. You know, as we were looking to move down here, we started gathering in December. And so we were still living up north. The rest of the families were moved here. So we were driving 2 hours every morning for about 9 months. And I was maybe starting to feel, I can say I was starting to feel a little discouraged. It seems like there was nothing available for us to buy. We were looking to buy early spring and get moved down here, but it seemed there was nothing available. And the things that we looked, there was some homes that we looked at were, it just didn't seem to fit the things that needed to be done and all those things. It just didn't feel like God was leading us in that direction. And so up north we had 40 acres. We had a farm there, And no, in my mind, I was thinking, this is what I was thinking. Okay, I was thinking, well, we'll sell the house and 4 acres, and I'll just hold on to the rest of the land. We'll buy something small down here and just get moved down here. That's what I was thinking. I was wanting to just hold on to the rest of the land. I wasn't really no need to get rid of it. If I could sell my 4 acres and the buildings, it would be plenty to buy something small down here. But, you know, those were the thoughts I was having. But after 9 months of driving and starting to feel a little discouraged, I remember telling Laura one morning, I was just seeking God and asking, what do you want of us? Like, it seems like there's nothing available. And we were just tired of driving. And one morning I just told her, I said, you know what? If God would have us to sell everything, I'm willing to give it all up. I don't need to hold on to the rest of this land. And this was like at the end of the week. Sunday, we drove down here again. Sunday night, it was later till we got home. As we got home, my brother pulled into the drive and he said there was a man here. He was asking about your place. And so I told him that he should just call you tomorrow morning, which Monday morning about 6 o'clock he called me. He was asking about the buildings and the 4 acres, and I told him that's what we're wanting to sell. I thought I had given it all up, so that's what we're wanting to sell, the buildings and 4 acres. And he's like, well, I'd really like to buy the buildings and 4 acres, but I'd really like to have the rest of your land as well to go with it. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I said I'm willing to give it up. I don't need to hold on to this. So this happened Monday. We talked to Price. And Tuesday, or actually it was Monday night, he came back with a price that he thought he would give, and so I counteroffered, and he said he would take it. This all happened by Tuesday morning. Our place was sold. But the faithfulness of God, and just when we come, we're fully surrendered. On Wednesday morning, we get a text from the brothers down here that the place that we bought came up. There's a sign out by the road. We don't know what it is. It's way back in. And I'll just be honest, me and my wife, we didn't have very much faith. We just looked at each other and said, you know what? What is it? It's probably just another junk hole. That's exactly how we felt. But when we surrender all, so from 1 week, from one Friday to the next Monday, we had our place sold and a new place bought. And just the faithfulness of God when we surrender. We come to God in prayer. We make our needs known, but not on our terms. Be fully surrendered. Number three, faithfulness in reading the Word of God. Faithfulness in studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. In Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Hebrews, I have two verses, Hebrews 10, verse 22 and 23. Hebrews 10, verse 22 and 23 says, "Let us draw near with true heart, in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And then he says in verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." We don't need to be ashamed when we are studying the Word of God and standing on the Word of God and in our day-to-day life, to be able to have the Word of God within our hearts. And I will acknowledge that for me to sit down and just sit down when it's sunny outside and study the Word of God, I have to discipline myself to do it. To prepare a message when it's sunny outside, I love being outside, but yet it takes discipline, and we need that discipline in our life to study the Word of God. Otherwise, if we're not studying the Word of God, when we go out into this world, we will be ashamed, because we don't have the Word of God within our hearts to be able to, this is the Word of God. This is what the Word says. When we meet people, when we talk to people, study to show yourself approved. Number four, faithfulness in our marriages. Ephesians 5, verse 22, beginning of Ephesians 5, verse starting in verse 22, says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Faithfulness in our marriages. We're called as husbands to love our wives, even as Christ loved the church. And wives are called to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And it's a beautiful picture. We were at the couples night up at Allen County last night. And in Proverbs, he used the verse in Proverbs 5 verses 18 and 19. He says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roll. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." He said, be intoxicated with each other. Because I was thinking of that, our marriages, our prayer time, our reading. But you know, if our marriages aren't one, I'll just turn to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. "For 1 Peter 3, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, our prayer time, our alone time with God, you know, if our marriage is, if we're not faithful in bringing our marriages together and being one, then our prayers are going to be hindered as well. So it's important that we walk together in faithfulness to each other, loving each other, ravishing each other, as it says there in Proverbs, being intoxicated with each other, to have that special time, we're one, as you know, as the church, as the body is one, so are we as marriages. And so it's important that we're faithful in our marriages, that we can, that our prayers aren't hindered. In closing, I would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And I would just like to spend a little time here in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3 it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him. He was faithful to his Father. Then he says, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And this morning I'd like to leave us with a challenge. It says, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. And I was thinking of that. As Brother John was faithful in all his house. This is a testimony that God had of Moses. Or is our testimony going to be, Brother John was faithful, but I don't know about his children? We can each put our name there. The testimony that God had of Moses, it says, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was accounted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But as Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. There it is. Brother Joel mentioned the verse, that he that endureth to the end. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So that is our calling today, to be faithful. Moving on down to verse 12, says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is today, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as the children of Israel hardened their hearts in the wilderness. He says, harden not your hearts. Don't let the deceitfulness of sin, don't let it harden your heart. Hold fast the confidence, steadfast unto the end. Verse 16, for some when they heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom he was grieved 40 years, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4 of the first two verses says, let us therefore, because of this example, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This morning we have the word of God. And it's available to each of us. But it needs to be mixed with faith to them that hear it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That rest that we received through Jesus Christ. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We can have that rest in our souls today and throughout eternity. But it's if we hold fast the confidence. If we hold fast our confidence steadfast unto the end. In Revelations, it talks about there's a crown. To him that overcometh, I will give a crown of life. So, Lord bless you. Those are some of the thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart.